Hello, welcome back to the Rebel Room postseason edition. Ryan Green and Rob Misch. After another brief hiatus, we've got plenty to get caught up with you on the Rebel basketball front. And Robbie, let's just jump right in it, because since the last time we spoke to these folks, the last time we did speak was regarding Quintrell Thomas announcing he was going to visit UNLV, the Kansas transfer from New Jersey originally. And, of course, since that time, he has committed to UNLV. He will sit out next season, and in two seasons will join the rotation officially. But Quintrell is coming to town.
You did a fantastic job staying in contact with him. And what's he hoping for? What's he looking forward to?
Well, it sounds like he made it sound like he thinks this is a league, the Mountain West, that he can flourish in. And, you know, I'd have to say I agree from, you know, the little bit I saw him in Kansas in pickups last year before I left there. A guy who held his own against Cole Aldrich, who, you know, a returning All-American center who's going to be a lottery pick next season. This is a guy who was given about 3 inches on him. And, you know, I mean, yeah, that size wound up playing a difference, but this is a tough kid, and I think he has a chance to be the kind of big man that UNLV fans seem to be craving, because from what we've gained last year, they just want a kid who's tough and who's going to produce.
Right, and who's going to maybe jump over the bench to get the loose ball. And,
yeah.
You know, I spoke with Frank Martin a little bit Sunday night at the Hardwood Suite for a reception for the Coaches versus Cancer Classic. Mm-hmm. Ron Kruger, the big golf tournament he put on this week, and Frank Martin, Kansas State coach, said he recruited him out of high school, and of course he got to see him a little bit in the Big 12 last season, and he said he's just a guy who's going to go after that ball. So it sounds like he's got his blinders on and has one or two goals he wants to achieve, and he accomplishes them. So it could be a real good fit, you know, that kind of blue-collar, dirty worker.
And that's what they need. And, you know, the guy we compared him to a little bit last time when we were talking was Tyson Johnson, who was a senior at Wyoming this year, a guy who a little undersized from, right, you know, about 6'6", 6'7", thick body, you know, not going to leap out of the gym, but, you know, has that tough New York attitude just like Quintrell does.
Right.
He's going to grind his way to 15-7 a night. You know, I mean, granted, projections will be what they will be, because, you know, Quintrell in limited time only averaged 2 points and a board and a half, or a board, you know, a game at Kansas this year.
Right.
Didn't really get a chance. So we don't really know what he's going to be able to do in the Mountain West, but just kind of on paper, that's kind of what we're expecting. And, you know, one of the you talked about jumping over the bench for a ball, and let's rewind to last season to one of the hard, you know, heartbreaking losses that UNLV fans watched was that setback at Colorado State. And we specifically remembered from that game Darius Santee going towards a ball on the side that he kind of peeled back on, let
right
go, in which he could have made an effort to jump into the first two rows of the stands and probably would have had the save, but just kind of backed off, and Lon Kruger got on him for that, and that was kind of the epitome of what they're looking for in a big man, a guy who just is fearless. And, you know, Bryce Masamba has some of that, but he's still putting it together, and this kid has a chance to be pretty advanced by the time he takes the floor in two seasons.
Yeah, you know, we saw some flashes last season of the big men, but it was, let's be honest, it was fool's gold, you know.
Yeah.
Just when
yep
we thought Bryce was turning a corner, he fell back, you know. What was the Bruce Springsteen song, Two Steps Up, One Step Back? It was like one step up, three steps back.
Yeah,
you know,
yep.
And so the post play was very disappointing last season, and, you know, we do have to kind of highlight the fact that, well, this is for season after next.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it remains to be seen how is that going to be plugged this season. And, you know, I think what's going to go a long way is just having Carlos Lopez on board. You know, I'm not saying he's going to come in and average 20-10 or 12-8. I'm just saying his presence is going to push the others, and if the other guys don't, you know, aren't careful and don't come in ready to go this next season and make proper advances this off season, you know, Carlos is going to wind up starting.
Yeah.
He also does something that those other two guys, Bryce and Darius, don't do. It's almost like they play with muzzles on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't bark, they don't direct, and that is something that Carlos was born with. So, you know, he comes in, I think, with a notch or two above those guys. So,
well, and the other guy we can't forget about in this whole deal is Matt Shaw, who's mm-hmm coming back. We'll have 2 years of eligibility after the ACL surgery. And, you know, I know he had a reputation his first couple of years as a Rebel as being a 6'8" guy who, you know, camped out on the perimeter a little too much, took the
yep,
you know, opted for the outside jumper a little too much. But, you know, we saw in practice kind of the process of Lon Kruger and his staff really, really trying to work that out of him. And, you know, he started to get pretty aggressive in the paint in practice as he came back towards the end of last season as a part of the black shirts. So, you know, that's a guy who I think during this whole thing we can't forget to mention, too.
Meanness has sort of grown on him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. And I think that knee injury kind of mentally did a lot for him because, you know, he handled it pretty well. He, you know, when he came back, you could tell in practice that he wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
You could tell this is not, you know, this was just a minor, you know, this wasn't even a road bump. This wasn't even a speed bump for the kid. It was like maybe, you know, running over a pebble. And, you know, I think that he kind of told himself after that, you know, if I can deal with that without a hitch, you know, I think it toughened him up some.
God, I remember when he did, when he tore the knee right before they left for Australia 1 year ago. He walked by me, and I didn't say anything to him, and he looked at me like I had just killed his puppy dog. And I didn't really know what happened, and then a few minutes later it became apparent. He got word that he was out for the whole season, so of course he's going to look like, you know, the roof caved in and all that. But, see, that's the other thing I think he's going to cherish playing, you know, and I don't think he's going to care where he's playing. Yeah, they need him to be down low. He's going to do it. He's going to do it, and he's going to love every second of it. He's got to learn the banging and, you know, a little bit and get used to it. But we saw him get used to it, and he grew with it, and I think you're going to see a guy who's really going to cherish every second of the rest of his career.
Well, that you got him coming in, you know, we talked about it a lot in the last podcast, the pros and cons of being a school that takes a lot of transfers, and we're not going to get deep, you know, jump into that again.
Sure.
But you know, there is something to be said about, think about it, you know, 2 years from now, your rotation includes transfers from Kansas, Memphis, UCLA, and Kentucky. Those are four pretty quality programs that you're taking kids from. And you know what? A player's a player, no matter where he played last.
Yeah, that's big time. And you can go back to the Tark era, and, you know, a lot of his top players, guess what, were transfers. You know, Larry Johnson came from JUCO. Wade came in from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a record of it, and there's a history of it, and there's nothing to be ashamed about. And, you know, they are getting better. That is, I think, the one point that is most important.
Yeah, and these kids, remember, with the exception of Derek Jasper, you know, these other transfers have come in after their freshman year, where they're still going to be here. They're going to get a year to get acclimated and then have 3 years of eligibility. It's really not that big a deal.
Yeah, it isn't, no. And you're seeing a lot of people, you know, who know kids who have played with each other before, so there's a certain amount of chemistry coming with it. And, you know, but once we talk about chemistry, we got to – you know, remember last season, and kind of, it's tough to talk about a debacle of a 20-win season.
Yeah.
But it sure was a tailspin, and it sure wasn't what a lot of people expected. So I think that chemistry is going to be the one biggest thing that will be on Lon Kruger's mind this offseason, and kind of maybe going about things a little bit differently come the next four, five, 6 months.
Well, and now there's the potential of another another name possibly being added to the fold for next year. Noel Johnson, who's a top 150 recruit, 53rd ranked by Rivals, 6'7" small forward out of the Atlanta area, decommitted from USC along with about everybody else and their mother.
Speaking of debacles.
Yeah, in the wake of everything that's going on there. And he's going to be visiting UNLV this weekend. He has a visit set up in the future with Charlotte. He said he's also considering a few other schools. Didn't really delve into that.
You were able to speak with him just a
few
hours ago.
Yeah.
And what was on his mind?
Well, you know, UNLV is a program that's been on his radar. You know, his dad has the relationship with assistant Lou Hill. They're both Wichita State alums.
Cheese Johnson. We got to get to the bottom of that. And, folks, we will.
They're both, you know, Wichita State alums. They go back a ways as friends. So I guess it's natural that UNLV gets a crack at this kid. You know, a 3-point shooting 6'7" forward whose shot, you know, I watched some video on him this afternoon. His shot looks pretty smooth.
Yeah.
You know, only shot about between 35 and 40% for his high school career, so nothing stellar, but a 6'7" kid who can stroke it.
He likes to shoot it,
doesn't he? He put up over 220 attempts as a junior. Granted, this was in about 35 games, but he puts up a lot of attempts, about 6 to 7 a game, it sounds like. But, you know, this is a kid who's going to vie for playing time right away if he comes here.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of expand on that. They added Henry Buckley, the forward from Houston, about 2 weeks ago, but He is not going to be on their scholarship count until 2010, as he will go to prep school in North Carolina next year.
Patterson School?
Patterson School, which means UNLV, with the departure of Deshaun Mitchell, had one remaining scholarship, still has one remaining scholarship for next season. You can either use it on Johnson, or you carry it over to 2010.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. You got a kid who is allegedly of this caliber, played for a great AAU program with the Atlanta Celtics, played alongside Derek Favors. If you have a chance to get a caliber kid like this, this late in the game, I would think you got to jump at it.
Absolutely. And I mean, the fact that he's visiting, I think, speaks volumes about what the staff thinks of him extending that invitation. It's very legit, very real, and sounds like it would be a real good addition. And, you know, they've been on him for a few years, so it's not like he's any new name to those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So, do we know, you know, much more about his abilities or stats? Or
well, you know, it sounds like he's not the world's most aggressive rebounder, but he does rebound. He gets about eight a game, and that granted that was at the high school level, but he seems like a six. I guess he almost sounds like a young Rashard Lewis a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, that big body who can mix it up inside, but really prefers the perimeter because he's skilled out there.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess frame wise also, you know, it sounds like he compares pretty favorably to Chase Stanback. You know, Stanback 6'8", about what, 200 pounds. This kid's about 6'7", about, you know, 180, 190.
Yeah.
So you wonder.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to be comparing him to Chase
yet.
I understand.
Stature,
because Chase definitely obviously has a very good
world
pedigree.
Ability, yeah.
And as we saw all through practice, and, you know, this is nothing new from us, but he sure looks like he'll be, you know, the most important Rebel next season. A couple quick things. You know, it's amazing how fluid recruiting is and how it can change on a dime, or at least to the public. It can look like it changes on a dime and, you know, names get shifted. You know, just it seems like just 4 or 5 months ago, not even that long, we were thinking of the next few scholarships going to, Victor Rudd was there.
Godwin Akanji.
Godwin Akanji was in that mix, we thought. DeRozier from Massachusetts, you know, we thought some combination there, and all of a sudden there's not one of those guys who are going to be on the list. And we've come to find out, not just recently either, that UNLV never seriously was in on the Godwin Akanji sweepstakes. Not that it's over, but Utah coach Jim Boylan has been at Finley Prep since the start and really been after him, and it looks like that might be a very good fit in the future.
Yeah. So, again, that now just because now say they do get a kid like Noel Johnson and you have, at the time, no scholarships left for 2010, doesn't mean you won't, and doesn't mean the staff's going to stop recruiting because, as trends have shown, kids leave, and there's certainly going to be the potential for it next year again.
As we have seen at UNLV, six guys leaving within a calendar 18 months. That's pretty extraordinary, but like Kruger said, you know,
basketball.
It sure is. And every spring there's 200-300 guys who move on and leave and transfer, and so that's the name of the game. We would be remiss, though, to go on with this podcast and not talk about a very valuable contributor who will no longer be on the team.
Scott Hoffman is going to take his time elsewhere, it sounds like. He got his bachelor's degree in finance this past spring. And, instead of using his final year of eligibility, a very valuable walk-on. He's going to either be going to get his MBA, he might be just getting a job. But sounds, you know, from after talking with him, it sounds like it was the right move.
And it seems like if he does go on to pursue the MBA, from what I hear, that program has changed a bit at UNLV, where those classes are predominantly in the night hours.
Yeah.
So that right there is a basis for some conflict with practice, with travel, with games, and so forth.
But he's already certified in the GMAT for entrance into grad school. So, you know, and I think that certification, he said, holds up for about 5 years. So he's got time to figure out what he wants to do.
And the highlight of his career, we can go back to Air Force hitting a three with his parents in the house.
Yep. His first and only career three.
Yeah.
So, hey, good for him.
Yeah.
And they will miss him as a practice player, certainly.
Absolutely, because you know what? I would almost challenge any other player to know the system and offense and intricacies of everything that goes on better than him.
Yeah.
And the way he tutored the young Bucks, and he is a guy who will genuinely be missed.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, let's shift gears a little bit to close out the show here, and let's talk about the Mountain West Conference Tournament. That was the other big news this week. It will be, as we pretty much expected, it will be staying in Las Vegas through 2013. So basically, in the end, much ado about nothing.
No, and I'm sure you can put your you can stick your head out of your window right now, and you can hear the whining of BYU athletic director Tom Holmo, San Diego State coach Steve Fisher,
New Mexico coach Steve Alford.
Absolutely, yeah. Those Denver, San Diego, Albuquerque, and two arenas in Salt Lake City were in the mix to try to take that thing away from Vegas, but Vegas said no.
And in the end, nowhere else really made sense.
Obviously not, which we have documented very well.
Yes.
And you know what? It just when it came down to it, you figured that when the nine presidents got together and actually listened to the wishes and desires of their constituents, meaning the people who are going to go to these games.
Who are going to write the checks. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Vegas was just the clear-cut winner. And I think the LVCVA and Las Vegas events, they might have upped their ante a little bit to entice them to keep it here. But in these economic times, I don't think anybody came close to even making a big dent in the future of that tournament.
And you led it perfectly in that story you wrote about it with the analysis a couple months back, talking about the guys leaving to go play golf for the weekend.
Yep.
I mean, let's just say it like it is. None of those cities can offer what Las Vegas can.
Right. That was basically the lead of that story was Mike Hamrick was sitting in the Thomas and Mack Center at the, let's see, it must have been last year. So this would have been the 2008 tournament. And he just ended up talking with some Utah fans, a couple guys who told Hamrick that when the tournament was in Denver, these two guys told their wives, hey, they took their golf clubs and they were going to go see the Utes play in Denver. Well, they got the next plane to Vegas.
Yeah.
And played golf, had a ball, and watched the tournament from Vegas in the casinos. And you know, the event had an economic impact of $6.4 million on the city last year. And even though the total tickets collected went down, 2007, 67,200 tickets were collected. That went down by a little more than 6,000 this past March. But the funny thing is that room nights occupied actually went up over those 2 years. So those are just stats we got from an in-house numbers deal that the Mountain West had a certain PR agency in town put together. And, you know, basically, I talked to a few people today who said that this city was built on special events and nobody does them better, and it was an obvious conclusion. Mike Hamrick said he thanked the presidents for doing their due diligence and keeping it where it should be played.
Couldn't agree more.
Yep.
And, well, before we get out of here, speaking of golf. You had a chance to go check out Lon Kruger firsthand on the course. You mentioned the Coaches versus Cancer event.
Yep, it was a two-day deal. It was at Southern Highlands on Monday and TPC Tuesday. And it's something I had been wanting to do since Kruger got to town. I had always heard how good of a golfer he was. And finally, I was able to experience that at Southern Highlands on Monday. Watched him for all 18. And he kind of plays golf like he coaches. He is just no frills. He doesn't take chances down the middle. Half the time he was out driving everybody. He was he never hit the sand. He hit the water once. He has a 14-degree rescue club.
Yep.
That keeps him out of trouble.
Pops has one of those.
Does he?
Yeah.
It sounds like they're money.
Yeah.
It looks like it's just thicker than a putter.
Yeah.
But it's got the angle and it's reliable. Yeah. And it was just fun to watch him play. He hit a 30-foot putt. He had a couple 15-foot putts. He played right at his 6 handicap and just a measure of stability. I mean, it was really, really
consistent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was. And I'll be writing about that for later in this week so people can look for that story.
All right. Well, any final comments before we get out of here?
Boy, it's the summertime, and it just seems like we're going to constantly have things to talk about, so people can just keep checking in here and looking for our updates, and we'll keep them satisfied.
And in case you guys are curious out there, it appears that both of us have pretty decent tans right now.
I think I got you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
No question.
Okay.
So, but they're both pretty stellar.
We'll see you next time.
No, we'll give it a shot. All right. For Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you again soon here on the Rebel Room. Take care.